Mr. Lake.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Brett Lagner. I'm an Assistant Illinois Attorney General, and I represent the Plaintiff Appellant Patrick Quinn, Governor of Illinois, in this matter. Your Honors, this Court should reverse the judgment of the District Court dismissing the Governor's action and grant the Governor's motion for summary judgment because the realignment of the 183rd Wing of the Illinois Air National Guard violated 32 U.S.C. Section 104C, which is Section 104 of the National Guard Act.
Mr. Lagner, let's look at this sort of globally for just a minute.
Sure.
Because the BRAC Act processes results in an integrated package of changes that are spread out all over the country, right?
Correct.
And it's basically a rebalancing of military bases on a national level. How do we go about finding that Congress intended to allow individual governors to veto changes in a particular state if part of the rebalancing can be blocked by any governor or any two governors? The whole plan can be thrown off. I mean, is it really likely, in your view, that Congress intended that?
Well, Your Honor, you raise a very good point. And I would say first, that is not the case that a governor has a unilateral veto over the whole plan. First, I want to stress that under 104C, this only applies to the realignment of National Guard units. This has no application whatsoever to any sort of integration, realignment, relocation of the hundreds and hundreds of federal military bases that are not guard units. Second, the existence of 104C does not mean that a governor can unilaterally veto the entire process. What it means is, before considering the base in that process, the Secretary of Defense or the BRAC Commission should have either obtained consent and realized then this guard unit is at play, or not, and realize then this is just not something that is subject to the considerations outlined. But I think that Congress did not intend to override or write out the important states' rights protections. And that's another fundamental aspect of this case. It's an important underlying theme that we believe the Secretary has really glossed over, and that's the dual federal-state nature of guard units. Simply by creating the BRAC process and permitting a federal integration or federal changes and reclosures and realignments of the nation's military bases does not mean that the important state interests underlying the enactment of 104C no longer exist. As Congress and as the House Committee report back in 1933, when this language was first added, indicated, the state is responsible for housing and maintaining this equipment, for providing pilots, for training them, for providing ground crews. And the federal government certainly achieves a significant benefit from that, but the state, the Congress was concerned that the state would be prejudiced if all of a sudden, after undergoing that significant investment, that could all be easily done away with by the federal government sort of unilaterally. And those interests, and that theme still exists. It exists equally, it's equally as valid today as it was back in 1933.
But wouldn't it be strange if Congress went to the trouble of removing local influence, which it did, only to allow it back at this level of state-by-state challenges to the closing of individual bases?
The governor doesn't believe that that Congress entirely did away with local influence. Indeed, there is significant local comment built into the base closure and realignment process. There has to be a forum or fora provided for local considerations to be voiced. So local community concern or dissent factors in to the process. It's factored in under defined timelines. It's organized or order is brought to it by the timelines imposed by the realignment process or the fora provided, but they're still there. And again, with regard to all the federal bases, the federal military bases, the non-guard bases, the local interests or concerns are entirely circumscribed by those provisions of the realignment and closure process. But again, I don't think it is, the governor doesn't believe that it is anomalous to say that, admittedly, Congress wanted to streamline this process. It had gotten out of hand, certainly. And it streamlined it by imposing strict time limits and by providing a set process.
And by providing that it was all or none. I continue to be worried about the issue that Judge Rovner has raised and that, of course, Justice Souter raised in Dalton. Has any justice ever disagreed with Justice Souter's conclusion in Dalton?
No. Insofar as Justice Souter's conclusion in Dalton was that the discretionary decisions under the BRAC Act are not reviewable, but that doesn't necessarily address the point that if it is a guard base without consent, it's just not eligible for inclusion in the BRAC recommendation.
What in the Defense Base Closure, etc. Act, using initialisms as if they were words is just a formula for confusion. What in the Act excludes anything from its coverage? There's certainly nothing that excludes National Guard bases. Indeed, it seems to be within the scope of the Act. And one would think the whole function of an Act like that is to say that anything that's in the President's plan happens, notwithstanding any other statute that might govern in the event the closure took place in some other way.
I understand. The Closure Act, insofar as this is an argument that the Base Closure Act impliedly repealed the gubernatorial consent provision.
Justice Souter wasn't arguing for implied repeal. If the President wants to close just one base, he has to follow all the statutes for closing just one base, and 104 may be among those. I mean, the Act, however, deals with the possibility for closing a whole lot of things as a package. And again, as Judge Rovner said, how can one read that as saying other than other statutes that allow cherry picking are going to be overridden? Because otherwise you can't carry out the goal of that statute, which is to avoid cherry picking.
That's true. That's certainly true. The issue comes down to the fact that in the Base Closure Act, when certain other statutes did not apply, the National Environmental Policy Act, for instance, it specifically stated so. The Base Closure Act, Congress and the Base Closure Act specifically stated so. Congress was specifically silent as to 104C. And I understand the arguments that this is meant to be a global process. But it is not out of sorts or inconsistent to say, when you're looking at this global process, the list of installations that you get to look at is circumscribed to some extent early on by the gubernatorial consent provision. And again, it's not necessarily cherry-picking in the sense that, on the one hand...
Well, what statutes other than Section 104 do you think are incompatible with the Defense Base Act? And suppose the military has signed a contract with some real estate developer to lease a base for an extended period. You think that takes it out of the Base Closure Act?
No, and I think that the Base Closure Act...
Why do you say no? There's nothing in the Base Closure Act that says we hereby override any contracts.
That's true, and there would probably be contract remedies involved if the government has a long-term lease and breaks it as a result of the Base Closure Act, then whatever contract remedies would be available, presumably, against the government, Court of Claims, wherever. But there is no such remedy.
It wouldn't include an injunction against closing the base.
That's true, because an injunction against closing the base would not be necessary to preserve the...
Have you, by the way, filed a Tucker Act claim against the government?
We have not, Your Honor.
Not that I'm encouraging.
Noted. But,
you know, the Act, of course, leaves the Secretary of Defense no discretion. He has to carry out all of the base closures that are recommended and approved under the process. Now, how would we have a situation where the Secretary was complying with that mandate if you have a governor who has refused to consent to a particular closing? How do we deal with that situation?
Well, which is the situation we have here, exactly. And the way to deal with it is to enjoin the Secretary from doing that. It's an illegal act. It was an ultra vires presidential act to include a base that was not eligible for inclusion.
It sounds to me like you just contradicted your answer to me about contracts. Because what a contract means is that performance is required unless the other side agrees not to require performance. So if there's a long-term lease for a base, what that means is that until the landlord says, I agree to excuse performance, the military must perform. You already told me the Act allows them to override and close the base, notwithstanding the landlord's failure to agree. So why is the landlord different from the governor?
Because of the remedies and the interests involved, the governor and the state has no other remedy in this case, in this situation. A landlord has other remedies. The landlord's interest is not the same as the state's defense interest. This involves the state militia. These are important state interests that Congress back in 1933 sought to protect. If the base is realigned over gubernatorial without gubernatorial consent, Illinois loses this flying mission. The 183rd flying mission is gone. It's realigned. There's no way, there's nothing the state can do to get that back. Reading the two statutes together.
You could always send the National Guard to try to capture the planes in Indiana.
We could.
But I suppose the governor isn't going to try that either.
That's unlikely in the current political climate, but, you know, it's a...
Depends who the governor is, actually. One or two of them might be...
That may certainly be the case, and it might be on the table in some instances, though I can certainly state that it's not on the table. An invasion of Indiana is not on the table for self-help here. It is our belief, it's the governor's belief, that the only remedy is to enjoin, to return the flying mission to the 183rd. That flying mission is essential to the state's defenses, the state's militias.
Say no remedies. I don't really understand that. They're the usual political remedies. For political injuries. If the national government isn't doing what the state government wants, the state government can threaten to do things the national government wants. Illinois could threaten to drop out of the Medicaid program. Goodness only knows that would set off alarm bells in Washington. But one normally thinks that for political affronts, political remedies are what's called for.
And politics was largely removed from the process by the Realignment and Closure Act. But the point with the National Guard Act and 104C is that this shouldn't be a matter of politics. The state's militia is too important. The state's investment in this militia and in providing trained pilots.
That strikes me as overstated, to say the least. I mean, the state of Illinois really needs 15 F-16s in downstate Illinois to fend off attacks from Kentucky?
Not necessarily Kentucky, but it could be. There's certainly viable.
The injury, if there is any injury at all, has to do with the flow of funds from Washington and how that flow of funds, and therefore employees, and therefore state taxes that get collected, is allocated between Illinois and Indiana and Kentucky and other states. But that's no different from what happens when the government realigns funds in the federal interstate highway repair program. You know, I understand why states may be upset that funds are going to other states, but as I say, political remedies are the normal response to political hurts.
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully disagree that this is simply a financial harm. Maybe Illinois doesn't need a squadron of 15 F-16s to protect it from Kentucky. Nonetheless, Illinois has 11 nuclear reactors. It has over two dozen locks on important rivers. These are important security these are important resources that need security. Illinois can provide security for Illinois and the Midwest as the case needed with these jets. It was a few weeks ago, a student stole a plane from Canada and flew it over Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Air National Guard was activated to follow this plane. Nobody knew, was this plane going to crash into the Sears Tower? This is a part of the world we live in. These jets are an important defense component to Illinois, not to necessarily guard against other states, but in the world we live in today, to guard our important resources, nuclear power plants, the locks and the dams, the Sears Tower, the Capitol in Springfield. We need defense capabilities. Illinois has invested a significant amount in providing pilots and flight crews and support personnel and housing and maintaining this equipment. And it's these interests that are prejudiced and that are not supposed to be prejudiced under 104C without the governor's consent. If Your Honors have no further questions, I will reserve this time for rebuttal. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Counsel. Mr. Byron.
Thank you. May it please the Court, I'm Thomas Byron from the Department of Justice. Here on behalf of the Secretary of Defense, the only remaining defendant in this injunction case, I'd like to start by noting that there's a conflict, of course, in this case, as presented by the governor's arguments, between two federal statutes. First, the Base Closure Act, which the Court's already noted, creates a comprehensive and detailed process for selecting bases around the nation for closure and realignment as part of an overall nationwide streamlining process to improve both federal readiness and to minimize unnecessary spending. Second, the governor relies on the statute, Section 104C. That statute is part of a recognition of the dual federal and state nature of the National Guard in this country. And it also reflects the integrated structure of National Guard units within and with the federal active military as well. The district court here offered alternative bases for dismissing this case. I'm happy to discuss any or all of them, but I'd like to start with the text of Section 104C, because I think it's clear that that statute does not support the governor's argument that he can rely on a unilateral veto to prohibit the federal government from moving federally owned military aircraft from one federal military base to another as part of the Base Closure Act's overall streamlining process. The governor puts all of his emphasis on the word allotment, but that word will not bear the weight of the arguments in this case.
But, you know, you argue that the word allotment in the Section 104C proviso means the distribution of National Guard units among the states. There's no citation to support this interpretation. What's your best argument that this is the meaning of allotment as Congress intended it? Why can't we be allotted?
Judge Rovner, there is no case law that interprets that provision of the statute, nor is there any consistent federal practice that we've been able to find, or state practice for that matter, that offers any authoritative guidance. Thus, our interpretation draws on the context and structure of the statute itself. And if you look at Section 104C, the first sentence refers to the President's authority to integrate the National Guard with the federal active military around the nation. And the idea is a guard unit, a company, a battalion perhaps in the larger circumstance, would form a part of a nationwide larger tactical unit. And the federal government, the president or the secretary of defense at his behest, would designate units within states, the state militia, the National Guard units, as the reserve components of the federal military to integrate with that larger active military unit. That is the context that we think is significant in informing the meaning of allotment here. The allotment of National Guard units to states in that respect. And that reflects that integration, and it also reflects the dual federal and state nature that the governor here has emphasized. We don't disagree with that, of course. It's a key aspect of the National Guard, its dual role, but also its integrated role. Here, the federal government owns these aircraft. It provides them for the use of a particular National Guard unit in a particular state because the federal government has determined that the national interest in national defense and security is best served by that. Now, as part of the realignment and base closure process, the federal government here decided that F-16s, which are aging and many of which are no longer usable, we have a shrinking fleet of F-16s. The federal government, through the Secretary of Defense and the Base Closure Commission, determined that it made sense to consolidate those into a smaller number of units that were flying them. And so aircraft were moved from a large number of bases around the country to a smaller number. Both active military bases, both active military units that fly F-16s, and guard units that fly F-16s. Both were affected, and that, again, reflects the integrated.
Similar litigation pending in other states?
Not anymore, Judge Easterbrook, no. All such cases have been dismissed. All appeals have been concluded. This is the only remaining case.
How many cases were brought?
Judge Rovner, taxing my memory, there's a set of citations in our brief. I'd say roughly 8 or 9, I'd have to estimate. Yes. Governor's making many of the same arguments that the governor makes here, all of them rejected in the end, yes. Excuse me. If the court has any questions, I'd be happy to address the preclusion argument.
Well, it would have been so easy for Congress to expressly preclude judicial review, you know, of the act proceedings, and of course it didn't. So, you know, why are we stretching to add this?
Well, Judge Rovner, I think, of course, Congress could have done that, and yet here, as in, for example, Block or a couple of other cases, believe me, we recognize it's the rare case in which there is an implied preclusion of review. But there are circumstances in which the comprehensive nature of a federal statute dictates that judicial review of certain kinds of claims, here the claim that the addition of a base, the selection of a base for closure or realignment, certain kinds of claims are inconsistent with the nature, the structure of the federal statute at issue.
How is that argument any different from repeal by implication? Or partial repeal by implication?
Judge Sykes, I think it is different principally because it goes to remedy in the end and not to the effectiveness of a statute. In other words, 104C may remain in effect, and yet there may not be a judicial remedy for a violation, assuming that its text would support this kind of claim at all, and we, of course, think it would.
Well, what good is the statute remaining in effect if there's no remedy?
Well, many statutes, of course, offer rights without remedies. And Judge Easterbrook, I think you pointed out as well that where there's a political interest at stake, political remedies are the normal course. And the
political remedies don't require statutes.
Indeed.
Political battles occur in the absence of a legal construct.
I think that's often right, Judge Sykes, and yet looking at the legislative history of Section 104C here, there was some back and forth at a committee hearing in which the witness from the Defense Department said it was unnecessary to have 104C, this part of the 104C, that is, because everyone understood that the federal government could not unilaterally and directly disband a National Guard unit, which, of course, has a state character as well. And the chairman, the acting chairman, I believe, of the committee at the time said, well, it may not be necessary, but we want to put it in to make sure everybody's aware of that understanding. Paraphrasing, of course, but I think that's, again, not unusual that these things take place. They don't necessarily dictate that judicial remedies will be in place. Now, bear in mind as well that the preclusion here is fairly narrow. It's only with respect to the Base Closure Act and the selection process thereunder. In other words, if outside the Base Closure Act process, a governor has a valid claim under Section 104C, we've not taken a position on judicial remedies thereunder. It's entirely plausible that the APA would provide a remedy or at least a cause of action in that circumstance.
Has any such action been taken in the last 20 or 30 years?
Never, Judge Sykes, never. And indeed, I think it bears emphasis that Section 104C has not previously been relied on by the governors of our nation to interfere with the federal government's movement of valuable material, federally owned aircraft and other equipment, from one federal military base to another. This is not the purpose, intent, or historical practice under this statute. If there's any doubt...
One tell.
I beg your pardon?
I say, how can one tell whether governors have invoked this in the past? There hasn't been any litigation about it in the past.
Thank you.
But I assume governors have asserted their rights and people have then negotiated and compromised in some way.
A fair point, Judge Easterbrook. And as you said before, within the political process, there may be no record of that. So I should have been clearer and said that in the judicial context, there's been no invocation of that statute.
Of course, here there's been no compromise whatsoever. It was all or nothing at all, wasn't it?
Judge Rovner, I think if by that you mean that the process, the base selection process under the Base Closure Act, dictated the outcome, then that's certainly right. But it's not true that there was no input. It's not true that there was no consideration of alternative viewpoints. The commission held hearings. The governors in this case and in around the country elsewhere objected to the closure of many bases, not just guard bases, after all, not just under 104C in 18238, but as well federal active military bases that provided economic benefits to their states that they didn't want to see closed.
Well,
all of those were taken into account.
A right of consultation is very different from a right to withhold consent.
Certainly, Judge Sykes, but that indeed, I think, reflects the comprehensive purpose of the Base Closure Act, in which Congress acted against the backdrop, as the plurality said in Dalton against Specter, acted against the backdrop of previously frustrated efforts to close federal bases around the country. It was necessary to preclude cherry-picking and to prevent the invocation of parochial interests in order to accomplish this essential national purpose. Turning back to 104C for a moment, if there's any doubt about the meaning of the word allotment, we think that the purpose, the necessary goal of reconciling the two statutes dictates that doubt should give way in light of the Base Closure Act's purpose and structure. Thus, allotment may, outside this context, mean many things. We think it doesn't and can't mean what the governor says, which is something about a mission, something about federal equipment. None of those things are reflected anywhere in 104. But even if it could mean those things in other circumstances, it can't mean them here when put up against the Base Closure Act. And the Supreme Court's decision in Fausto makes clear that the historical progression of the enactment of one statute after another must inform a court's interpretation of an earlier statute. And that's what we're emphasizing should take place here. Happy to address any other questions if the court has them. Otherwise, we urge the court to affirm the judgment below. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Legner?
Thank you, Your Honors. A couple quick points. First, I want to reiterate that Congress in 1933 chose not to leave this to political remedies. Congress provided a statutory remedy, a judicially enforceable statutory remedy to protect state interests and the National Guard. It recognized the importance, it recognized the asymmetric power relationship, and provided protection to states. The committee report in passing the Section 104C in 1933 provided explicitly that it was concerned that where a state has gone to considerable expense and trouble in organizing and housing a unit of a branch of the service, that such state should not arbitrarily be compelled to accept a change in the allotment. And 104C was meant to protect the state's rights. It didn't leave that to the political process. It explicitly took it out of the political process by providing a statutory judicial remedy.
What do you mean they took it out of the political process? You mean that there would be some judicial remedy if the president, forget about the Defense Base Closure Act.
Sure.
The president proposes to move 16 F-16s from this base to some other base. Governor of Illinois objects. And the president says, if you don't lift that objection, I will reduce the funding for highway repairs allocated to Illinois next year. I think the governor could sue about that.
No, it's
certainly within the scope of politics.
Yes, it isn't within the scope of politics. I should have said that it was not limited to political remedy when they explicitly provided the statutory right. I'd further state that the phrase allotment, the allotment of a guardianate to a state, means more than the narrow definition that the secretary offers. In light of the need to protect state interests and the state's investment, it's necessary to provide a definition that reflects the effort to protect those interests, such and to provide the ordinary meaning. An allotment is the distribution or an allocation of a guard. What is allocated or distributed of a unit? Personnel, equipment, a manning standard, and a mission. Those are the elements that are allotted. That's the allotment of a guard, and that has been substantially changed by the base closure, by the realignment pursuant to the base closure process in this case. I would also like to add that since 1990, no base could be closed or realigned outside of the base closure process. Between 1990 and the end of this last round, that is the only process by which bases could be closed. It is not the case that the governor has other situations in which he could exercise 104C rights in terms of other closures, because Congress has provided that for the last almost two decades, this is the only way in which bases could be closed. 104C, to have any meaning, has to apply in these circumstances. Thank you very much. We ask that you reverse the judgment of the district court. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.